Srirath is a self-confident Cambodian teenager whose black hair tumbles over a round, light brown face. She is in a crowded street market, standing beside a pushcart and telling her story calmly, with detachment. The only hint of anxiety or trauma is the way she often pushes her hair from in front of her black eyes, perhaps a nervous tic. Then she lowers her hand and her long fingers gesticulate and flutter in the air with incongruous grace as she recounts her odyssey. Rath is short and small-boned, pretty, vibrant, and bubbly. A wisp of a girl whose negligible stature contrasts with an outsized and outgoing personality. When the skies abruptly release a tropical rain shower that drenches us, she simply laughs and rushes us to cover under a tin roof, and then cheerfully continues her story as the rain drums overhead. But Roth's attractiveness and winning personality are perilous bounties for a rural Cambodian girl, and her trusting nature and optimistic self-assuredness compound the hazard. When Roth was 15, her family ran out of money, so she decided to go to work as a dishwasher in Thailand for 2 months to help pay the bills. Her parents fretted about her safety, but they were reassured when Roth arranged to travel with 4 friends who had been promised jobs in the same Thai restaurant. The job agent took the girls deep into Thailand and then handed them to gangsters, who took them to Kuala Lumpur, the capital of Malaysia. Roth was dazzled by her first glimpses of the city's clean avenues and gleaming high-rises, including, at the time, the world's tallest twin buildings. It seemed safe and welcoming. But then thugs sequestered Roth and 2 other girls inside a karaoke lounge that operated as a brothel. One gangster in his late 30s, a man known as the Boss, took charge of the girls and explained that he had paid money for them and that they would now be obliged to repay him. "You must find money to pay off the debt, and then I will send you back home," he said, repeatedly reassuring them that if they cooperated, they would eventually be released. Roth was shattered when what was happening dawned on her. The Boss locked her up with a customer, who tried to force her to have sex with him. She fought back, enraging the customer. "So the Boss got angry and hit me in the face, first with one hand and then with the other," she remembers, telling her story with simple resignation. "The mark stayed on my face for 2 weeks. Then the Boss and the other gangsters raped her and beat her with their fists." "You have to serve the customers," the Boss told her as he punched her. "If not, we will beat you to death. Do you want that?" Roth stopped protesting, but she sobbed and refused to cooperate actively. The Boss forced her to take a pill. The gangsters called it the happy drug, or the shake drug. She doesn't know exactly what it was, but it made her head shake and induced lethargy, happiness, and compliance for about an hour. When she wasn't drugged, Roth was teary and insufficiently compliant. She was required to beam happily at all customers. So the Boss said he would waste no more time on her. She would agree to do as he ordered, or he would kill her. Roth then gave in. The girls were forced to work in the brothel 7 days a week, 15 hours a day. They were kept naked to make it more difficult for them to run away or to keep tips or other money. And they were forbidden to ask customers to use condoms. They were battered until they smiled constantly and simulated joy at the sight of customers, because men would not pay as much for sex with girls with reddened eyes and haggard faces. The girls were never allowed out on the street or paid a penny for their work. "They just gave us food to eat, but they didn't give us much because the customers didn't like fat girls," Roth says. The girls were bussed, under guard, back and forth between the brothel and a 10th-floor apartment where 12 of them were housed. The door of the apartment was locked from the outside. However, one night, some of the girls went out onto their balcony and pried loose a long 5-inch-wide board from a rack used for drying clothes. They balanced it precariously between their balcony and one on the next building, 12 feet away. The board wobbled badly, but Roth was desperate, so she sat astride the board and gradually inched across. "There were 4 of us who did that," she says. The others were too scared because it was very rickety. I was scared too, and I couldn't look down, but I was even more scared to stay. We thought that even if we died, it would be better than staying behind. If we stayed, we would die as well. Once on the far balcony, the girls pounded on the window and woke the surprised tenant. They could hardly communicate with him because none of them spoke Malay, but the tenant let them into his apartment and then out its front door. The girls took the elevator down and wandered the silent streets until they found a police station and stepped inside. The police first tried to shoo them away, then arrested the girls for illegal immigration. Roth served a year in prison under Malaysia's tough anti-immigrant laws, and then she was supposed to be repatriated. She thought a Malaysian policeman was escorting her home when he drove her to the Thai border, but then he sold her to a trafficker, who peddled her to a Thai brothel. Roth's saga offers a glimpse of the brutality inflicted routinely on women and girls in much of the world, a malignancy that is slowly gaining recognition as one of the paramount human rights problems of this century.